important message. It's really preparing our hearts for the days of awe. You know, as the month of Elul comes to an end, it comes to the close, the mood of repentance begins to become more serious as we prepare for the most holiest time of the month of the year. And on the Shabbat before Yom Teruah, or Rosh Hashanah, we observe a special service called Slichot. Slichot means forgiveness. And we'll be observing this special time next Shabbat as we begin our readings in the High Holy Day Siddur that includes special prayers for forgiveness. And the next Shabbat, we'll also be observing the Shulchan Adonai, the Lord's table, as we remember the greatest act of forgiveness the world has ever known. And so we're in a season of repentance and forgiveness, and it's believed that Adonai is more favorable towards forgiveness during this season more than any other time of the year, and it's simply because there are more of God's people who are seeking forgiveness, who are repenting and humbling themselves before Adonai. And God delights in a humble and a contrite heart. And so forgiveness is a major theme of the fall feasts, especially during the 10 days of awe. And that'll be the theme of my message today, is really focusing on the power and the gift of forgiveness. There are a number of traditional prayers of forgiveness. You know, for those maybe newer to our congregation, we'll be praying during the High Holy Day services, the Avinu Melchinu prayer, Our Father, Our King. Then we'll be praying on Yom Teruah, on Yom Kippur, the Kol Nidra. You know, the Achet prayer on Yom Kippur that includes 44 types of sin. We'll be praying through as a congregation. And I believe it's important, a very healthy process for a congregation to go through this season of repentance and confession and forgiveness. Because there are times, I know, you know, it's impossible for us not to offend someone in our congregation over the past year. So this gives us opportunity for us as a congregation to do this together. In the book of Yaakov, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, because the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. So this is the appointed time of the year to wipe the slate clean, to ask Adonai to forgive us of any sins we may be guilty of, and to go to those we have offended and sinned against and ask them for forgiveness. I'm sure that none of us here has ever offended anybody this past year, right? You know, but forgiveness is really a two-part process. Yeshua said in Matthew 6, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. So we have a responsibility not just to ask Adonai for forgiveness, which is much easier to ask God for forgiveness, but it's not so easy to go to someone that we've offended and ask them to forgive me. And so our forgiveness is not complete unless we go to the person we've offended and we make things right with them. And forgiveness is really a gift from God because it sets us free from guilt, of carrying around something in our hearts. It sets us free from the shame and anger we may have had towards somebody. So forgiveness is really a very powerful gift that God has given to us. There's a well-known saying, and I came across it this past week, and it really, really spoke to me. The role of a shepherd, of a rabbi, of a congregation, is to comfort the afflicted, but to afflict the comforted, or to afflict the comfortable. The role of a shepherd is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And what do I mean by this? Well, part of my role as a shepherd is to comfort those who are suffering and being afflicted because of sickness, you know, the death of a loved one, because of a broken relationship, because of a loss of a job, whatever a fellow believer may be going through. I always try my best to be there for them and to comfort them. You know, Paul spoke of this, Shaul spoke of this in 2 Corinthians 1. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the Father of mercies, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And it goes on to say, for the more we suffer for Messiah, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Messiah. You know, we have had several of our people this past year who've gone through some intense time of suffering, particularly around the death of a loved one. We've seen in the past year or so, there's been three of our people who have passed away, and it's been really sad for those who have been left behind. And there's been an unusual amount of sickness among several of our mishpacha. So we've been praying fervently for them. And I pray that we as a congregation we would have a compassionate hearts, and we would comfort those who are suffering. And that's part of our not only my role, but all of our roles. That we, when one member suffers, we all suffer together. We try to feel the pain that other people are going through, and thankful that we haven't experienced it, because we know that there's a mystery to suffering. Why some people suffer more than others, that's a bit of a mystery that I don't think any of us understand. We pray and we believe for someone's healing, and for whatever reason, God has a different plan. And so we just have to know that God knows the end from the beginning, and God has a reason for everything that comes into our lives. But having said this, another role of a shepherd is to afflict the comfortable. In other words, to make the comfortable uncomfortable. You know, there are times that God's people become lazy and complacent and undisciplined, lacking self-control, indifferent, dull of hearing, distracted by the things of this world. Every Shabbat, when I give a message and challenge us to be zealous for the Lord, sometimes I feel like when I say something, it goes in one ear and out the other. Hope that's not the case. But I see very little change at times when I try to bring a word across to people. You know, we've been going through a series of studies on prophecy for the past year and a half to prepare us for the end times, because we believe that we are in the end times, and we are in the midst of birth pangs that Yeshua warned us of. And there's only been a small number of people who have been attending our studies faithfully. And we've been challenged of how important prayer is, and how few people in our congregation attend pre-service prayer. And we still don't seem to see many hearts being stirred up to come to prayer. We talk about the importance of sharing our faith, and how many of us are sharing the good news, this good news that we have, and being obedient to our Great Commission calling. How many of us are being good stewards of giving our tithes and our offerings, and are withholding from God and robbing what is due to Him? And how many of us are using our gifts in service to God? And how many of us are spending time in the nice presence, reading and studying His Word, praying every day, and growing in our relationship with Him? And then how many are holding on to unforgiveness in your heart because someone offended you or judged you or criticized you or said some unkind words to you? Are you starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable? Because if you aren't being convicted, then you're in real trouble. Because God's, I'm just saying that rather nonchalantly, but we all fall short. Every one of us in this room falls short. And we all need a wake-up call. And this is the appointed time of the year to wake up. So it's time to wake up, sleepy bride. It's time to wake up. And the writer of Hebrews, which I believe was Paul, was speaking to believers in Hebrews 5, 1 through 14, and he gave a warning against slipping away from the faith. And this is what he said. If you want to follow me in Hebrews chapter 5, and this is what the writer says. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Paul is speaking to the believers. You're spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You're like babes who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So let's stop going over the basic teachings about Messiah over and over again. And let's press on to maturity and become mature in our understanding. In other words, it's time to grow up for all of us. Yeshua also spoke some similar words in Matthew 13. He was speaking to his people, and this is what he said. The disciples, they came to him in Matthew 13 and asked him, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he does have will be taken from him. And this is why I speak to them in parables." And then he goes, "Though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, did not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you'll ever be hearing, but never understanding. You'll never ever be seeing, but never perceive. For this people's heart has become dull. They hardly hear with their ears. and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But then he said, but blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For I tell you the truth, that many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. We are living in a unique day today. We are seeing things that no one else has seen in all of history. And they said, they want to see the things that we see. We're seeing them today. We're seeing prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. And when I look in the book of Revelation, you know, it begins with Yeshua giving a message to each of the seven congregations. And he's walking among his congregations, and he's making all these observations on what he sees. He sees things that are positive, but then he says, shares things that are areas where they need to repent in. But in every congregation, at the end of his message, he says exactly the same thing. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the Messianic communities. Anyone who has ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the Messianic communities. So in these last days, God is preparing us to become a bride without spot or blemish. And so are you listening to the Spirit? Are you spiritually, do you have the spiritual ears that are listening to what the Lord is saying? You know, it says in the Scriptures, a natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. For their foolishness to him, there's a veil of blindness in part over our people, and that's why they don't understand. You know, the things that we see so clearly in God's Word, because there's a partial blindness, a veil that lies over the hearts of our people. But he says, we who are spiritual, we discern all things because we have the mind of Messiah. You see, Paul said that through much tribulation and suffering, we will enter the kingdom of God. And none of us escape suffering in this life. None of us. Some suffer more than others, you know, which is kind of, as I said, a bit of a mystery. But, you know, suffering is a necessary part of our spiritual walk and in helping us to grow and mature in our faith and in our character. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that comes about you as though some strange thing were happening to you. But the degree that you share in the sufferings of Messiah, keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing so that at the revelation of his glory, you may also rejoice and be overjoyed. He says, if you are insulted for the name of the Messiah, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And so to comfort those who need to be comforted and to afflict those who are comfortable is a very challenging task. But let me share a Jewish perspective on this. Now, Jewish people are the one people who are most familiar with suffering. There's no other people on the planet throughout history who's ever suffered as much as our people. So our people know what it's like to suffer. It seems to be part of our DNA. In Jewish tradition, the Jewish community devotes not just a day or two, but a whole season to affliction and comfort. For 3 weeks leading up to Tish B'Av, the ninth of Av, which is the saddest day in on the calendar because of all the tragedies that have happened on the same day, there are selected readings from the scriptures, the Haftorah, that speak about, you know, that remind us of the tragedies and sufferings of our people. The Book of Lamentations is really a sad book, and it's read during Tish B'Av. But then for 7 weeks after Tish B'Av, we read the seven Sabbaths of comfort. Seven scriptures that focus on God's promise to comfort his people. We're still in the midst of these seven Sabbaths of comfort. And so if we pay attention to these readings and to the whole drama of this season, we shouldn't feel comfortable as we approach the holy days of Yom Teruah. This is the time of the year that we should not feel comfortable about our lives. Because we're looking more within. We're dealing with sin in our hearts. We're seeking to repent. You know, the month of Elul leading up to Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, is supposed to make us feel uncomfortable. Because we are to make every effort to repent and to deal with our sins that we may not have been, that may not have confessed, and to go to those we have offended and to do everything we can to make things right by asking forgiveness and reconciling with them. We know this never is a pleasant experience. We all know that. But it's necessary. It's part of our growth and our maturity as believers is not to be offended so easily. And sometimes we're so offended so easily. And God wants us to learn to overcome offense in our life. You know, in preparation for God's appointed times, the Jewish custom is to provide a final service of forgiveness called Slichot, which we'll be observing next Shabbat in preparation for Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. And the most important reading for Slichot is the 13 attributes of mercy from Exodus 34, 6 and 7. I want to just read that. You know, but in context, Moses is praying to Adonai after the sin of the golden calf. Adonai was so angry with Israel, he was prepared to destroy the entire nation because they had broken the very first two commandments. But Moses pleaded with the Lord to forgive them, even asking God to blot his name out of the book of life. That's how much he loved his people. And so Adonai agreed to show mercy to Israel and to remain among them with his presence. And then Moses asked Adonai, Lord, please show me your glory. And Moses found favor with Adonai. You know, Moses was the most humblest man on the earth. He was just an amazing shepherd leading 2 million plus through the wilderness for 40 years. That's no small challenge. But Adonai agreed to show him his glory, but it was not a personification of God's glory, but a verbal declaration of his mercy and his compassion, and to show his heart of forgiveness. And so if you want to follow along with me in Exodus 34, verses 5 through 7, this is how the Lord declared to Moses after he asked, Lord, show me your glory. He gave a verbal declaration of his character, of who Adonai is. And Adonai passed before him and proclaimed, Adonai, Adonai, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, showing mercy to the thousand generations that I shared a couple of weeks ago. If we think of a generation as 40 years, that's 40,000 years. Or 70 generations being 70 years, that's 70,000 years. God keeps his promise to thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, because God is a God of justice, but bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, the third and fourth generation. Because the guilt, the sin that we can be guilty of as parents, it can affect our children and our grandchildren up to the third and fourth generation. So that's why we need to be careful as parents in how we raise our children and the kind of example that we set for them. Our sages discern 13 attributes of mercy that are especially comforting as we seek forgiveness at this time of the year. And the final four attributes all have to do with God's forgiveness. Forgiving offenses, nosei havon. This refers to intentional sins, which God is willing to forgive if the sinner repents. Sometimes we sin intentionally, knowing that God will forgive us. But if we truly come with a contrite heart, he will forgive us. Sins with malicious intent, rebelling against God. For those who truly repent, there is forgiveness. For God forgives sins committed out of carelessness, with thoughtlessness, and apathy. And these are some of the sins that we'll be discussing, and we'll be praying through and confessing, you know, Yom Kippur as we go through the Ochet prayer. You know, God does not exonerate or forgive the guilty. Unconfessed sin can be passed on, as I said, to the children, to the third and fourth generation. But he does forgive those who truly repent by repenting and asking forgiveness. So we can remove that off of our children by repenting and not allow that sin that we may be guilty of to pass on to our children and our grandchildren. So these attributes are a call to repentance, to make a U-turn from our own ways and return back to Adonai. But you know, there's something within our human nature that resists change. We love routine. We love to maintain a status quo. We don't like to rock the boat, especially when it comes to things close to our heart. We may be willing to try out something new, some new experience, new flavors or colors, places. But when it comes to changing things close to our heart, we find it difficult to change. Just ask anyone, including yourself, who tries to exercise more or eat less or phase out some unhealthy habit in your life. We resist change because it's hard to change. And we like to keep things the way that they are. But God is the God that wants to change us and transform us and renew us. And that's what, during the season, that's exactly what God's purpose is. We're not just observing historical feasts. God is an ever-present Adonai. He's always working, always changing, always transforming, always renewing us. As Jerry said earlier, his compassions are new every day. You know, I've noticed that over the years, this type of attitude, whenever we talk about repentance during the season, I've noticed many times after we pray the Ached prayer on Yom Kippur together as a congregation, we go through this process of confessing these 44 sins. No sooner do we confess them than I begin to witness some of the very sins that we just finished confessing. Judging someone, gossiping, sowing discord, criticizing. Remember, part of my job description is to comfort the afflicted, but to also afflict the comfortable. You know, that's my role, is to kind of make you feel a bit uncomfortable. So whenever I give a message, if you feel really comfortable, then I'm not doing my job. The point. So we emphasize repentance during the season because genuine comfort only comes after the fruits of repentance. And forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts that Adonai has given to us. We know the Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness because we know that our salvation began when God first forgave us. We are here today with the knowledge and the confidence that our names have been written in the book of life. We don't have to hope that our names have been written in the book of life. We can know that our names are written in the book of life. Because our salvation is not based upon how good we are. You know, whether our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds is based upon what Messiah has done for us. He paid the penalty for us. That we were all dead in our sin. We were separated from God. We were destined not only for physical death, but spiritual death. Because it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's only when we acknowledge our sin and ask His forgiveness for paying the penalty for our sin that He gives us this wonderful gift of eternal life. Yeshua said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And he said, do you believe this? I believe it. I'm sure most of us here believe it. Let me just share some scriptures from God's word on forgiveness. I'm just about finished here. But these are amazing scriptures on God's forgiveness in Psalms 130. If you, O Lord, kept the record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Isaiah 38:17. For you have rescued me from death and forgiven all of my sin. Isaiah 43. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Psalms 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Ephesians 1, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. And I just want to read, you know, a portion from Psalms 32. It's really a powerful expression of God's love. Psalms 32, verse 1. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. And I refuse to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like waters in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all of my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and He forgave me, and all of my guilt was gone. I mean, that's amazing how God's forgiveness is so beautiful. And so during the season, we'll be reading lengthy prayers of confession in our Siddur readings during the season. And we need to learn how to really put our heart into this practice. Read these rote prayers, but they would come from a broken and contrite heart. If we come with the right heart during this High Holy Day season, we just kind of just go through the stuff like reading through it and as rote liturgy, that is not going to really do anything for our lives. If we really truly seek God and want to experience His glory, then we really need to come before Him with a humble and a contrite heart. You know, I really have seen how we have lost, you know, the simplicity of life with all the busyness of life. We live in a different age today, an age of entertainment, of distractions, of stress, and so much information that overwhelms us. I'd like to just close with three practical things you can do to help you focus during these days. The first one is distraction fasting. You may have not heard that expression before. But distractions, entertainment, information that's so easily accessible on YouTube, computers, phones, TV, characterize the days in which we live. Let's turn something off from now through the days of awe. As we approach the days of awe, let's simplify our mental, emotional surroundings and make room for awe in our lives. So try to remove some of the distraction from your life and some of the things that you do on a daily basis. Just set aside some time. You know, and there's another thing that we all know, that you can't easily multitask effectively by doing two or three things at the same time, we try to keep ourselves so busy. But we need to refrain for a while and instead give full attention to one thing at a time, day by day. It's traditional to read Psalms 27 during the month of Elul. And King David, as busy a king as he was, he learned the secret of an uncluttered and a simple life. He said in Psalms 27, "One thing I've desired of the Lord that I may seek." Just one thing I've desired of the Lord that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. That's all that was important to King David. He wrote all these beautiful psalms that we read. There's psalms that we just love to read. And he said, "One thing I've desired more than anything else is to dwell in God's presence all the days of my life." And that's something that we all need to do. And then thirdly, you know, practical hesed or kindness. You know, undeserved kindness is a leading quality among these 13 attributes. So give someone close to you a genuine but unexpected word of affirmation or encouragement. Decide not to criticize or minimize the efforts of someone else, even if you think they deserve it. You know, give relational freebies, acts of kindness, and really enjoy acts of kindness of just doing something nice for somebody. And so as we prepare to recite the 13 attributes next Shabbat, they really provide an important background when we confess our sins. When we understand the nature of who God is, the character of God, His attributes, and as we truly come before Him with a humble and contrite heart, then when we read through these readings, they'll not be dry and just liturgical, but that we would really have a fresh encounter with Adonai. That's what God delights in. And I just want to close with a scripture from Colossians 3, 12 to 15. "Since God chose you to be holy people He loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect unity. And let the peace that comes from Messiah rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Never think give thanks, for this is God's will for us, Messiah Yeshua." So I trust that you will take these words to heart. They won't just go one ear and out the other. That God would really speak to your heart. And so when we enter into this season, that God will do something new and fresh as we gather together and as we go through this, beginning next Sunday evening with Yom Teruah. You know, it's a time to wake up. The shofar will be sounded in all the different time zones throughout the earth. It's a worldwide call to wake up. If there's ever a time for the world to wake up, it's now. Amen. So, Father, thank you, God, for this time that we can come together. We pray, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for this special season, Lord God, that you will really go before us, that we would truly have hearts that are humble and contrite before you. Lord, we would complete the whole process of forgiveness, to ask you to forgive us, and then to go to those we may have offended, whether it be a husband or wife, father or friend, a member in our congregation that we've avoided. But we pray, God, that you would really help us to take this unpleasant task of going to those we may have offended and to really make things right. Because we'll feel so free when we practice this wonderful gift of forgiveness. And so, Lord God, thank you, God, for your goodness to us. In Yeshua's name, amen.